The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays from all of us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Yes, I am Elissa Walker Campbell. And before we get underway tonight, we absolutely love hearing from you all across the country. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And remember, you can always join us online, yahoosportsradio.com and yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. All of our amazing hosts here at our network, they've got some great shows up there. We want to encourage you to go and check them out. Well, right now, let's take time. Let's pack our bags. Let's head up to Dallas. Let's check in with our good friends at RF Sports, rfsports.com, and discuss the latest in the NBA. You step back, you look at the schedule. We are, 24, 25 games into the season? And so our next guest that's going to provide some perspective is Rodney Fisher with RF Sports. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE, our newest sponsor, SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season at SCORE, score.com. Good evening, Rodney. It's nice to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas holiday with the Fisher family, and we're going to start out. Let's head out to the Western Conference. Obviously, right there in your backyard is the Dallas Mavericks, and a number of highlights, I would say, to discuss. Of course, tonight they're facing the Lakers, but they have been truly challenged by a number of quality opponents, just most recently with San Antonio and Phoenix, and there is never a dull moment, especially in the Western Conference. How would you, as you step back and assess the season, how would you summarize how the Mavericks have played up to this point, Rodney?
Well, up to this point, it's been kind of bittersweet, in my opinion, only because, you know, they've done so well. They got a great record, a record that would really put them at the top of the Eastern Conference. But since they're in the Western Conference, you have to be concerned by the way they've been able to play against teams that are in that top eight. You know, if they're in the playoffs right now, they don't have a lot of quality wins against some of those top eight teams, and that's a little bit concerning to me. I know it takes a little while for the team to gel. I feel like they're playing a lot better than they did when they first started out, now getting Chandler Parsons more involved and getting their guards involved as well, too. But you have to be somewhat concerned when they have to play teams like San Antonio and of course, those other teams like Golden State really beat them pretty badly when they were at home. So you got to be concerned about that as well. We just have to see how to kind of get things going before the All-Star break.
Well, they have certainly faced, as you had said, you're talking about Golden State. They've been red hot and a formidable competition in the Western Conference. Obviously, when you talk about the Dallas Mavericks, the name that is synonymous, of course, is Dirk. We're going to hit on him here momentarily, but I have certainly, and you just said it, I've been so impressed with how Chandler Parsons, he has finally turned the corner. He got off to a slow start, but he has had several 20-point games, and he leads the team in three-pointers.
Yeah, and that's what he was brought in here to do. He's that stretch kind of player that can bring a defender out to clear some space down low and also be a decoy so Dirk can still get his shots and get those matchups that he likes to have on the court as well, too. You know, even though he's been bothered by a bad back, he's missed a few games from that, he seems like he's doing a lot better. And the Mavericks have one of the best medical staffs in the NBA. A lot of players that have gone to the Mavericks and playing for a long time, so He's got a good benefit of that. He's going to be fine, and he'll be ready for a long season. And he's only going to get better, I think, as they start to trust him more. He starts to feel more comfortable, especially playing with a brand new cast of teammates.
And you absolutely have to give credit to his turnaround, head coach Rick Carlisle. I understand that he's been spending some extra time with him, and to be honest, he really did need it because he got off to a slow start.
Absolutely, and Rick is that type of guy. He's played in the league before. He knows what it takes to be that player that can kind of grow and build a new team. He spent so much time with Larry Bird and with the Celtic organization, plus he's coached so many young athletes and got them to a point of being a perennial all-star. But he knows what it takes, and he's the type of coach that's going to take an interest in a player like Parsons who wants to get better. Parsons is, by definition, a gym rat. He likes to be in the gym. He likes to practice. He was the same way in Houston under McHale. So this is kind of the right kind of situation for him.
Well, Rodney Fisher joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Tell all of our listeners across the country, Rodney, where they can check out some of your work.
You can always go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, or follow me on Twitter at rfsportsradio.
You know, when we're talking about zeroing in on Chandler Parsons, I guess we shouldn't be surprised how he has really turned the corner because, you know, when you have a head coach like Rick Carlisle, he's working with him. He has that Midas touch. And you just look over just even the past 4 or 5 years, the players that he has had and how he has really elevated. He's transformed their game. I mean, I think back to what Vince Carter, Tyson Chandler. I mean, the impact he's having the second time around. And a beautiful example of Coach Carlisle's system has been Brandon Wright, what he has done with him. I mean, gosh, I think he is one of the most incredible stories within the NBA and one of the most improved players.
You know, that's, you talk about a player that's been through a growth process. I remember when he first came to Dallas.
Yes, I do
his
too.
His first interview, sitting on their practice court, he just looked like a kid. You know, his eyes are real big. He couldn't kind of get his words out very good. And I've seen him from year to year just grow, not just as a player on the court, but off the court as well. He's a lot more comfortable. He's really had the benefit of working next to a guy like Dirk, if he had the locker next to him now, because he wants to become that NBA player that can be in the league for quite some time. His game is elevated. He's led the league somewhat this season in field goal percentage, which is a testament to him really working hard and getting hard shots he knows he can make.
Hey, Rodney Fisher with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. One of the things that I've certainly noticed, too, is that these guys are finally starting to gel. They're finally starting to mesh, and you certainly can't discount just how important chemistry is, and they certainly need that. In fact, what Chandler Parsons said after the Detroit game, that the more he plays with these guys, the more comfortable he feels, and that was certainly evident, what he had a season-high 32 points.
Oh, absolutely. It was magnificent in that game. You know, He's had some flashes of greatness, and he's had some flashes of where he seemed like he was very uncomfortable. You know, uncomfortable taking the last shot, uncomfortable just being that go-to kind of player. But as he plays more and more, he's getting a lot more ready to be that spotlight guy. Because let's face it, he was brought in here to be that next building block for this team as Dirk goes into his last few years of playing. So that's a lot of pressure for a kid who hasn't made this kind of money before in the league, hasn't had this kind of attention, and now he's trying to get that under his belt, and he's a lot more comfortable with that role.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks, they're the best in the league offensively, and obviously one of the big storylines is the play and production of our man, Monte Ellis. He is, gosh, Rodney, he is just so special. He's a special kind of cat.
I would say special is a good word for him. You know, he's the nickname of the Mississippi Missile. He's a country kid that likes to play a big city game. He's so much fun in the locker room, you know, when he does want to talk and kind of wants to joke around with the players. And his game is kind of, he's kind of been that unsung kind of talent. We all knew he could play. People really got on him by his shot selection and taking so many shots, but he's fearless. He'll take the last shots, become the go-to guy. Anytime you have a guy like Dirk who's been in the league for so long and he says that you're the go-to guy now, he's passing the baton as a torch to you. That's got to be a huge boost of confidence for him, but he feels that way. And he could very well make his first All-Star team. Now, if he does that in the Western Conference, that's a huge accomplishment for Monte to be able to do that. But the Mavericks got to think about what they want to do with him long-term. Of course, he's eligible next year to move around to another team. And I don't think there's any way that Cuban lets him out of the locker room.
Well, and he is another testament to just how Rick Carlisle has completely transformed Tim's game and just infused so much confidence into him. Hey, we've got to step aside for our very first commercial break. We're going one-on-one to the hoop with Rodney Fisher from RF Sports, rfsports.com. He's joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. Check them out online. There is no off-season at SCORE at score.com. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to step aside. We'll be rejoined with Rodney Fisher. We're going to be talking much, much more about the Dallas Mavericks and some of those formidable teams in the Western Conference. Stay close. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you tuning in right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, absolutely having a great time the day after Christmas, and I'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports and on our amazing website, yahoosportsradio.com. Well, right now, hey, we're talking NBA. There's a lot going on right now in the NBA, and Rodney Fisher from RF Sports and rfsports.com. We have specifically been talking about the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, they have got the best offense in the league. One of the reasons why has been because of the play of Monte Ellis. I think the best descriptor for him, an adjective, is he is just a winner. He is a winner. And I got to ask you this, Rodney. Before we went to break, I wanted to talk to you about this. Who does he remind you of? Because I was listening to Shaq the other day, and he said he's got a little bit of AI in him.
Oh, I would agree. You know, when you asked me that question, it was the first play I thought about because the way he plays his game. You know, he's gonna handle the ball. If he doesn't want to pass, he's not gonna pass because he wants that pressure of making the shot and moving the team forward. You know, he reminds me a lot of AI and also just of any of the players you can think of that weren't scared. You know, guys like Kobe that weren't scared to
fearless.
Ball, Isaiah Thomas, people like that. And I don't think, you know, the Mavericks have had a player like that in quite some time that was that efficient and can really put the ball in the hoop. So he's a special player for the Mavericks organization as a whole.
Well, he carried the Mavs against the Bulls and the Bucks. I mean, you talk about Monte Magic for the Mavericks, and, I mean, hit those game winners. And as you said, I mean, you just got to love that moxie, but that no fear. I think back a year ago, Rodney, that game on the road against Portland, never an easy place to play. He wanted the rock in his hands. I mean, he was ready.
Yeah, he's ready. I mean, he's ready to take the next step as well, too. He's really kind of calmed down as an individual just because he knows he's confident in his game, what he can do. And he's got the right coach and the right environment, I think, to really make him thrive. That's why you're seeing him averaging 20 points a game. Now, he's averaged a lot more in the league, but now that 20 points is efficient. He's making better shot selection. Mm-hmm. He's passing the ball a lot better, too.
Any concern, Rodney, in terms of what he's averaging minutes per game? I mean, he's around, what, 33 per game?
Well, I'm not concerned because he has not missed one game.
he plays hurt.
Yeah, he plays hurt. You know, so he's got a motor, and I don't think he'd have it any other way. To have a guy you can count on each and every night that's going to play those kind of minutes is really special.
Well, he's got those fourth quarter heroics, and takes his team and straps it on his back. And you know, so many times the onus has been on Dirk. It's great to see it on Monte Ellis. And I think one of the interesting things too, you know, I heard Jeff Van Gundy talk about what separates a good player from a great player is playing consistent. And we have seen that from Monte, and he and his just willingness to play even hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
he's an all-star.
You need those kind of players, you know, especially when you have a locker room where you have a guy like Dirk who's been in the league as long as he has, who rolls his ankle almost every game, can still play. And that's real commendable because he's setting the bar pretty high for those guys over there. And they have a veteran team, so they need that kind of presence in the locker room.
Oh, a lot of news and notes to be talking about here in the NBA. But right now, we are dialed into the Dallas Mavericks, going one-on-one with Rodney Fisher from RF Sports, rfsports.com. Okay, so a little bit of the Achilles heel, and it's been a bit of a repetitive theme over the past few years. How do they become a top-10 team defensively? What are they not doing? What are they lacking, Rodney? I mean, I'm seeing stuff, breakdowns in terms of even transition defense.
Well, they're lacking their perimeter defense. That's the problem. They got Tyson Chandler down low. He's only one man. He can only do so much by himself. But they're lacking that perimeter defender that can guard the best player, that can keep someone outside, and then pass it off to Tyson Chandler down low. But they're going to get better. They're going to get help. They've been trying a little zone this season as well. So they're going to figure things out pretty soon.
Okay, talk to us about Tyson Chandler some more. The impact that he is having with the Mavericks the second time around, can you just quantify what he has meant?
Well, Tyson is the key. You know, when you see Tyson on the court, you always feel like you got a chance to be a much better team than they were the last 2 years or even since he left in 2011. He gives you that solid base down low. You know he's going to rebound. You know he's going to play hard. He's going to be an emotional leader on the court and in the locker room. He's the key to really get this team to the next level. If they can make it there, if they can get past the first round. They went seven games last year without him, but I think they have an even better chance now having him in the lineup.
Well, you say it the best. And what about this production? I mean, 25 rebounds. We're talking 25 rebounds against his former team. I mean, many times we hear about buyer's remorse. What about seller's remorse? Because, I mean, what a steal. They're never going to give him up. I mean,
oh, no. Not at all. You're right. I mean, he made sure to make a point against his former team. He said that before going into it.
Passive-aggressive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, hey, Rodney Fishner, having a great time this evening at YSR, the Big E Sports. You know, I think one of the things, we're going to transition and talk about some of the other teams in the Western Conference, but I think Dirk just says it best. I mean, Tyson Chandler is such a positive influence and the most positive teammate to be around. And, in fact, you look at his career numbers, I mean, he's snagged over 8,000 rebounds. Okay, so talk to me about the Western Conference. Who, in your mind, who's going to be the one of those last teams standing?
I think it's definitely going to be Golden State, for sure. Memphis, who is right up there as well. The Clippers, I'm still kind of lukewarm on, but I think they'll advance past the first round. But really, my team, everybody needs to watch out for is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are playing on a tear right now, and they're determined to make it to the playoffs to cause some damage, and they may have just the right motivation to do so.
Has the Memphis Grizzlies, have they been perhaps the biggest surprise for you? I mean, they've had a brutal schedule, but gosh, they have an incredible front line, but their backcourt is dangerous too.
You know, the biggest surprise to me about them was the way Marcus Gasol started the season. He had lost almost 20 pounds. He's a lot leaner, but still playing that same kind of tough kind of basketball we know him to play. But he did that for a reason, because he knew they're going to come in with a chance. If you look at the way that they've constructed, they're one of the few teams, even in the Western Conference, that have been together so long and know each other so well. So I knew they would be a really good team, and starting out the year without any major injuries, I knew they'd be right up there, and they proved me right so far. The question is, can they finally get over the hump in the playoffs? They've always been a team no one wants to face, but they have had some offensive challenges before in the playoffs, and I'm hoping Vince Carter coming off the bench can really help them.
Hey, Rodney Fisher's been giving us his NBA power rankings tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. What a great way to kick off tonight's show, December 26th, the day after Christmas. And blessings to you and the family. We look forward to catching up. I actually will be up in Dallas for the Oklahoma City Thunder game. And you were just talking about the Thunder, and that's going to be a great game with KD and, of course, Russell Westbrook.
We've got plenty of ham and turkey left for you. Come on up.
You better have some salmon, too. Okay. Hey, much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You check out Rodney Fisher, rfsports.com. We will be right back and having more fun. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. A very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all of you tuning in tonight on the fastest 2 hours in radio. We are so excited to have back with us in studio our producer at YSR. That is Andy Pondillo, and I know that he is locked and loaded. It's been a very good Christmas for you and the Pondillo family. How are you? It's good to see you again, Andy.
It's always a good Christmas when the Astros appear to be making moves, and you know that makes me happy. I'm well-rested, had some vacation, so it's a good time of year.
Oh, we're going to get into the Astros, hopefully. But you know what? I want to head out. We haven't talked about it. Let's head out to the AL Central and the White Sox, their rise to prominence. They have been very aggressive. I mean, a number of additions, and we're talking about four key players. I mean, you're talking about a closer, starting pitcher, outfielders. They have really spiced it up, haven't they?
They have made some incredible moves over there in Chicago, and nobody really saw this coming. When some of these players came up as free agents, you didn't think an Adam LaRoche was going to go to the White Sox. He didn't think a David Robertson would want to leave the Yankees and go to the White Sox. But sometimes it's the domino effect when it comes to free agency. When you see big names all going to one place, you want to hop on the train and ride it along for a possible pennant, World Series, those types of things. The fact of the matter is that when we see these new teams built like this, it does take some time for them to kind of figure out their identity, to figure out their strengths, their weaknesses. But one strength they're going to have is that starting rotation. Already with a true ace, Chris Sale, so many teams wanted Chris Sale, so many rumors over the years that he would be dealt for the White Sox to try and rebuild. Instead of rebuilding, they retool. Time is going to tell if this works, but now with the rotation of Sale, Samardzija, Quintana, their 1-2-3 is as formidable as it gets in the American League. Now David Robertson closing for a bullpen that struggled. I wonder what their middle relief is going to be like, but if that is the worst problem they have, that's not the worst problem you can have as a team, because fixing a bullpen is a lot easier than fixing a starting rotation, fixing a poor order. They still have some struggles to me at the top of their lineup, but right now getting Abreu already in the middle of the order, Adam LaRoche is consistent as it comes at first base. You know what he's going to give you. You know you're going to get 80, 90 RBI, and then you can play those guys in a sort of a platoon first base and DH role, keep both of them fresh, play one of them, 90 to 110 games at first base, and then just flip-flop them from game to game, from series to series. I like the approach the White Sox have taken. I don't know if it gets them a division title, but it certainly puts them in the mix.
You know, massive change. We're seeing it across the league, whether it's the White Sox, the Royals, the Indians. Andy, are you seeing that teams are changing their approach? They seem to be a little bit more impulsive. Are they being short-sighted?
I think that it's gotten different with baseball just because of the two wild cards now. The wild card, when it initially came into play, it turned a 88-win team into a dangerous team. And before that, you had to win 90 games just for the chance of being in the postseason conversation. And now, when you're between 83 to 90 wins, you feel like you're right in it to the last couple weeks. It only takes a good two-week stretch when you're a marginal team to get in the playoffs, or it takes a two-week bad stretch to be a playoff team that's eliminated from postseason
right.
play. So right now, it really makes everyone feel like they're a competitor. People are still going about it different ways. I feel like the GMs are flipping and flopping a little more than they used to because they feel like their jobs are on the line immediately. They're brought in, they're asked to rebuild, they're asked to build a long-term, sustained success-type organization, and sometimes you can't do that in 2 to 3 years, and that's when you start seeing these trades made. And I also feel like some of these teams, they're drafting players, they're spending a lot of money on the draft, more so just to use that as trading power later on to fix those holes in the lineup, to fix those holes in the starting rotation, to be able to buy a team out of a guy that's in a long-term contract that they don't want to pay anymore. So I feel like it is a little bit more short-sighted, especially even when Billy Beane now is making those types of moves last year. He tries to go for it probably for the first time ever, but then blows it right up again. As for the American League Central, Royals, Indians, not exactly teams that believe in going for it, but even the Royals, a team that doesn't sign free agents generally, they go out and make some moves. They get Kendrys Morales, buy him low, expect to see if he can turn it around. They get Alex Rios, buy him low. Two guys that have hit for power in their careers, almost no power in that lineup. It gives them something different, something in the middle of the order after losing Billy Butler. And then they go out on Edinson Volquez, another guy where I wouldn't say maybe buy low in terms of what he's done in his career, but when he was a young player, a guy that was projected to be a top-of-the-order rotation guy. So they're trying to buy these guys up, see if they pan out. If it works for one out of three of them, maybe it was a good idea.
Hey, you are listening to the voice of our very own, our MVP. That is Andy Pondillo, our producer, right here at YSR. Of course, he is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stewart Cadillac. Real people, real value, real simple, and by Score, our newest sponsor, the Score Athletes Network. There is no off-season at Score. Check them out online at score.com. So you bring up the Royals and some of the minor moves that they have made, but I will say what I've noticed is that it's certainly adding a lot of depth, but are they going to be as good?
It's hard to imagine them being as good without James Shields. That's why they went out and got Volquez, to kind of fill in that gap, add depth to the starting rotation. But they do have some good young guys. Ventura, a true top-of-the-order, top-of-rotation guy, if he can figure it all out, he becomes a Cy Young candidate at some point in his career, in my opinion. Any guy that can throw 101 consistently as a starter, you got to feel like has a bright future in this league if he gets his control under control. So the Royals look like a competitive team to me. The White Sox, with their improvements, the Indians, still a young team that's starting to mature, starting to show they can compete with real teams. You know, these are teams that split the win totals. Also, let's not forget about the Tigers, the division favorite every single year. So all these competitive teams, what it does, it elevates your level of play, but it also makes the value of a win that more important, because you have four different teams that could win over 80 games, and that makes it a much more difficult division to win. So I look for this to be a lot of fun in the American League Central. You know, in the American League, we're always fixated on the AL East. I think the American League Central becomes the most top-to-bottom competitive division in baseball.
Hey, what an incredible run that the Royals did have. Refresh for all of us and all of our listeners just why they were so successful this year.
They knew who they were. That's the biggest thing. A lot of teams don't know who they are.
Who were they? Who were they? What was their identity?
They were a team that moves runners. They're a team that steals bases. Mm-hmm. They're a team that plays much better defense than any team in Major League Baseball. What's the difference between a run saved and a run scored? The only thing that's different is you get a lot more money for driving in runs versus saving them. So were able to compile a team that could save runs. They're able to compile a team that understood that they have to win through speed. They have to be able to move runners. And that doesn't necessarily mean bunt. When you say move runners, people think bunt. No, that means good at bats. That means hitting the ball the other way. And it means not striking out. In a day where teams strike out at record paces because they're trying to see pitches, they're trying to all get on base via the walk, try to follow the sabermetric approach, which I do like, but sometimes there's just guys that aren't those types of guys. They aren't guys that can see pitches. They aren't guys that can drive the ball into the hole on a 2-1 count and get a double. They have to play a different way, and the Royals understood the way they had to play. Maybe they didn't quite understand it at the beginning of the year, maybe not in the middle of the year, but again, with two wild cards, they were able to figure out what this team was, and they were able to ride that all the way to the World Series. Now, it's a dangerous combination to expect that year in and year out with power-hitting teams now like the White Sox, the Tigers, teams that run frontline major league talent out there. It's hard to repeat that type of effort, but the Royals were a fun team last season.
But they didn't have a major makeover. They just made those minor moves. Can they make a run and go all the way next year too?
I think they have to find more power in their lineup. That's going to be key. It was fun with what they did. It was fun watching them steal the bases. It was fun watching them play defense. It's such a hard recipe because they got hot at the right time. A lot of that was them actually hitting for a little more power in postseason play, not being exactly who they were all through the regular season that got them there. So I don't know if they can make that run again. It's the same team. I feel like you're going to need more out of Eric Hosmer. I feel like you're going to need either Alex Rios or Kendrys Morales to be who they were a couple years ago. But with that being said, I'm not ripping on the Royals. I still think they win in the 80s. They could still win up to 90 games. We just got to see how it all plays out. They're going to have to ask a lot out of that pitching staff.
What is your view of continuity within Major League Baseball? How important is that?
I think it's important to have your key guys. I think the surrounding cast, the Giants have proved that you can continually keep changing the guys who, you know, maybe they bat second and play second base, or the guys batting at the bottom of the order, or the bullpen at points. I think you can change closers. You can change the back end of the rotation. But I like continuity at the core spots. Your three hitters, a Buster Posey, your ace pitchers, Matt Cain, Madison Bumgarner, having that depth at certain positions as well, to where if one of your starters goes down, you know there's another guy that's going to pick him up immediately. It's important. It's important when it comes to the superstars. It's important when it comes to the leaders. It's important to get fans in the door because they want to see their favorites. And it's a business. Let's not forget about that. You need to sign your superstars. You need to sign your guys. The Oakland A's don't believe in that, and they trade everybody away, and their attendance shows that.
Hey, Andy Pondillo with us tonight, taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Hope all of you are enjoying your holidays. We do have to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we do want to connect with you as well during that break, and that's at Twitter, at @eRadioSports, and we will be right back with much more going around the horn with some MLB right here in the month of December with our very own Andy Pondillo. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, as we continue to go through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all of you tuning in across the country. Remember, we absolutely love hearing from all of our listeners. Join us online at Twitter, @eRadioSports. We are going around the horn, continuing our MLB conversation, and that is with our very own, our producer from YSR, Andy Pondillo. And Andy, I got a lot more questions to ask you, but I want you to connect with our audience as well. Please share with all of them where they can go and check you out online. You've got some great stuff.
They can check me out at climbingtowelshill.com, podcast Astro Chat, where we talk Astros baseball and then baseball all around the league with much going on this offseason.
Absolutely. A lot of additions and subtractions. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, I wanted to pick your brain on this. Talk to me about the trend with the general managers. It seems like more and more younger guys are getting hired. I think of immediately with what the Rangers, John Daniels, he's 37. He was hired when he was 28. How is their approach different different than some of the old school guys. I mean, what did they value the most?
They value a lot of what we saw in the movie Moneyball. I know it's Hollywoodized and it's Brad Pitt looks a lot better than Billy Bean, but the concept is there, and how they try to value run saved, run scored, taking pitches, drawing walks. You know, for a long time, the value on baseball was finding the athlete, finding the five-tool guy. The five-tool guy comes at a premium cost with the inflation we see in baseball, the $325 million guy in Giancarlo Stanton. Not every team runs a budget where they can afford these guys. So the new idea is to hire these general managers that could get four players for $25 million and find where they fit in the lineup, find out where they fit in the field that maximize value. And a lot of that has come to a lot of scrutiny. You know, some people believe in it, some people don't. I personally think it's a mix that makes you the best team out there. You can't rely on sabermetrics solely, but at the same time, if you're an old school guy and you refuse to acknowledge their existence, then you're just going to be spending big bucks for almost no reason. I think that's what we've seen the Phillies do under Ruben Amaro Jr. So if you're telling me that I could have a team just built on, you know, guys that can save runs in the outfield, guys that can steal bases, guys that are going to watch some pitches, play gold glove defense, I surely want that, but I also want a GM that's going to keep those players. So finding that right medium, I think an older guy who's actually done this the best, in my opinion, in recent years, and that's been Brian Sabian for the San Francisco Giants. He just knows how to do that right mix. He was able to draft well. He was able to pick up guys like a Madison Bumgarner, a Matt Cain, Tim Lincecum, develop them through the system, but he keeps them, and that's the key. So a lot of these teams that get these young guys that have this hybrid style of thinking, they don't keep their own players, so it's almost like they're redoing it every few years.
Hey, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. Okay, so let's jump back here. Let's cycle back. Let's talk about the AL Central some more. The Indians have become what I would say the wild card as the young, the talented team, but they kind of lack that big, sexy star. They don't have that superstar, do they?
Yeah, it could have been Jason Kipnis. We're still waiting to see him breakout. Michael Brantley had a huge year last year. He seems to be the most likely guy. They got the components in place between Santana, Kipnis, Brantley. This team should be a formidable lineup. Terry Francona, the guy at the manager's helm, he just knows how to put together teams. He knows how to figure out the identity. Yet the Indians seem kind of like a dark horse in that division every year when you look at the Tigers, who are always the favorite. Now the Royals, the American League champions, the White Sox with the additions they made. A lot of people are going to forget that the Indians are in that division. I think they're a strong team. I just wish they would be the type of team that would go out and try to solidify that unit a little more. They did that. Brandon Moss, he put him in the middle of the order. Don't know what he's going to get. He's almost non-existent versus left-handed pitching, but a nice addition for the middle of that lineup. I look for the Indians to be a successful team long-term as long as they stick to their plan. Again, we talk about sticking to the plan, not sticking to the plan. Will they trade their players as they start to get older, as they start to test free agency? We've seen them do that with Asdrubal Cabrera. That'd be concerning for me as a fan. Try and keep this core intact and win a World Series with them. I don't think it's happening within the next year or two, but I could see this team being a successful unit down the line if done right.
Can I just say this, Andy? The team that always teases all of us, it seems to be the Tigers. They're always one of the favorites, but I see Verlander, Justin Verlander, I mean, I see him slowing down.
He definitely is slowing down. I don't think he's made adjustments to pitching. I don't know if it's Cade Upton or he just can't throw
a
fastball
anymore. An overdose of Cade Upton. She's like Jessica Simpson with Tony Romo.
It's quite possible. His fastball just isn't, it doesn't have that oomph that it used to. Certainly above average fastball. But there are certain pitchers, I've seen it happen to several power pitchers in baseball where they lose a few miles per hour. Maybe they lose a little command. Or maybe the hitters just figure out their hard stuff and they can't overpower guys like they used to. They have to figure out a different way to pitch. When I watch Justin, he still looks like a guy that feels like he can outpower guys. It's just not going to happen anymore. He's going to have to change the way he pitches. He's going to have to study these hitters, figure out why they're getting such good swings off him, why they're getting such good looks off him. It's not always the swings either. It's the fact that they can take a pitch slightly off the plate like they know what's coming, get ahead in the count, make it that much harder on Verlander. Without Max Scherzer this year, David Price leads the rotation. Porcello's traded. Fister was traded a year prior. Their rotation is starting to get a little more thin while still when you look at a David Price, of Justin Verlander, and Anibal Sanchez, you should say those guys should be at the top. But right now, it looks like the White Sox may have a tad better 1-2-3 punch. Verlander has to come back and show himself, or the Tigers, their window for a World Series title, for another American League championship, it might be closing fast.
One of our favorites, Andy Pondillo, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and we're going to transition now. Talk to me about the Kemp trade. I mean, he fails, Matt Kemp, he failed his physical.
Yeah, as we talk right now, a recorded segment, he fails a physical, and the Padres now have to make a decision what they want to do with this trade. I mean, this could blow the whole trade up. We don't know yet. So he fails a physical, has arthritis in his hips. So whether he plays with the Dodgers, whether he plays with the Padres, this has to be concerning for any team that runs Matt Kemp out there, because you think hips, you're probably going to immediately think fielding, that he's not going to be able to run, he's not going to be able to make diving catches, he crashes into a wall, might put him on the DL. I think hitting, however, because when you hit, when you're a power hitter, when you got to get those hips through the zone, everyone, any baseball,
firing the hips,
you know, yeah, any hitting instructor is going to tell you to throw the hips at the ball,
okay,
to turn on an inside fastball. Mm-hmm. If that's going to cause pain, if that's going to be hurting him, this is a long-term deal the Padres are picking up. This isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. The type of money on this contract, and now knowing he's an injured guy, the Padres still go through with this, they're going to have to keep him. There's, now that this is out there, there's nobody's going to pick up Matt Kemp. Even if he puts up a 30 home run year in 2015, there's nobody's going to want a guy with arthritis through his hips into his 30s.
And that's so, what, $107 million is his contract?
$107 million remains on the contract. The Dodgers are going to pay about $30 million of that off of it. So there's still quite a bit of money left on it for any team that would try to follow up and make a deal. So you just have to assume whatever happens here stays the Dodgers, goes to the Padres. They're just going to have to stick it out. I'm curious because I've not seen this type of injury come up. I've seen hip injuries pop up in baseball where we've seen guys get surgery. Mm-hmm. We've seen guys get Band-Aids and try and continue to play. But if you know anything about arthritis, there's no Band-Aid you can put on it. That's going to bother him the rest of his career. Interested to see the significance and if he can continue to hit like that. It makes sense why we've seen his numbers drop a few years ago now.
Well, I agree with you, Andy. I think it's unusual. It's a weird injury. And correct me if I'm wrong, he's only 30?
Yes, he's only 30. So I would imagine that he has somewhere along the family lines in his family history that he had that type of injury pop up. I haven't seen it before. I've seen a lot of hip injuries in baseball, again, because when you swing, you're throwing your hips at the ball. You constantly throw your hips for mm-hmm. over 600 plate appearances per year. So it's bound to get some pulls over there. You're bound to feel tightness, arthritis, so that's going to be a whole different cookie for him. I think that maybe his best bet one day is to be a designated hitter, but that sure isn't going to happen in the National League.
The 2015 season, it will be here before you know it. We are so glad you've been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Pinch hitting tonight. Andy Pondillo hanging out with us in YSR. There's been so much movement, action that has taken place in the offseason. I know we're short on time, but perhaps we'll get into this next in our next interview. I'm real curious what you're looking forward to the most in 2015.
I'm looking forward to Astros being above 500. That's what I'm looking forward to most.
Hey, they exceeded expectations coming into this season. So, Andy, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. And much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at E Radio Sports.